most people know, what's the one thing that's like preventing me from like winning the day, you know, like having a good day? And most of the time, it's something really simple.
Welcome to the Productivities Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, I'm joined by Brian Dixon. Brian is the author of the book, Start With Your People, The Daily Decision That Changes Everything, and he really believes you're here for a purpose. He's a podcaster, he's a conference speaker, and he's a business coach, and he's passionate about helping high-potential leaders and teams thrive in a world of overwhelming options. On this episode, we get into a ton of great stuff and why he believes it's important to start with your people. We talk about the Enneagram at some point. We talk about the idea of taking time to talk to each other about problems and just digging into the people that really can power your productivity. It's not something you think about at first glance, but there's a lot to it. So let's get to my conversation. And don't forget to stick around for my Productivity is Podcast pick of the week, directly related to our conversation. So spoiler alert, I do mention the podcast during our conversation. Speaking of which, here's my conversation with Brian Dixon here on the Productivities Podcast. I'd like to welcome Brian Dixon to the Productivities Podcast. Brian, thanks for joining me today.
Mike, I'm so excited to be here.
This is going to be great because we're going to start right away. We're going to start with people. Actually, this is the name of your book. Start With Your People, The Daily Decision That Changes Everything. And what I want to get into right away is the idea of deciding. You know, Tony Robbins, and you've probably heard this before, you know, he's famously said, you know, when he's talking about to decide something means to cut off. That's what the etymology of the word decide is, to cut off, means no other options, right? So you've said that there's a daily decision, which means you're cutting off all other decisions that will essentially change everything, which I know that's not exact. Like, let's be clear. That's bold. What's that decision, and why did you decide that that was the decision that needed to be put in place so that everything else could change?
I love the question. I think productivity is about decision-making, right? And, you know, before we started recording, we started talking about the godfather of productivity, David Allen, mm-hmm. right? And David would often say, GTD is like having a mind like water. And what does water do, right? Water just responds the way it's supposed to respond. And that's the dream of our day, that we can just be in the moment or in flow, you know, and our day just goes perfectly. And we just follow the system that we have. And many of you guys listening right now are system-based people. I'm a system-based person. I love systems. But here's the thing. We're about to do our system, you know, like I'm about to press the button on my Nespresso machine to make my espresso, or I'm about to take a phone call that I had scheduled, or I'm about to walk out the door because I have this errand I need to run. And then there are these little pairs of eyes, right? The little three-year-old toddler, my youngest son, or my six-year-old daughter, or my nine-year-old son, or my wife of 17 years, and they have a look in their eye. And the look is basically, daddy, can you help me? Or, you know, husband, can you help me? And that's where we make a decision. We decide, am I going to put my project, the thing that I was already going to do, in front of this important relationship in my life? Or am I going to just check in real quick? Hey, honey, it looks like you need something from me. I've got this thing I got to go to. Can we talk about it later? Or is it quick? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's mm-hmm. just the decision to look towards the people in your life. And when you do that, then you can live in this confidence of living out your productivity with your people cheering you along the way instead of getting in your way.
One of the things that you brought up there, which I think was really important, is the idea of the project that you're working on. One of the things I struggle with, mm-hmm. even I work from home. And so there's this, yeah. You know, the separation between, you know, home and work is fluid at best. I do my best to make sure that, like, so for example, if we were recording right now, you know, which we are, but no one's home, because on Wednesdays is my listening day. And for those of you who've been following me for a while, it's like the day that I focus on audio work, and nobody's home because the kids are at school. My wife's at work. She sometimes works from home. So there, I know with absolute certainty that there's nothing going to get, you know, in the way of what I need to be doing today. Mm-hmm. Now, some people would say that, you know, setting that up, how can you do that? Like you're, you know, it's for me, it's working from those certainties. So in my mind, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is when you're starting with people, mm-hmm. how important is it for you to go, okay, this is what I know to be true with the people that I'm working with and the people that I'm living with. How do I structure my time and my tasks in a way that will put them first and still let me do the things that I need to do? Because if you serve yourself right, you ultimately are serving them as well.
Yes, it's nuanced. So what I've been doing actually today, which is kind of fun, on my Instagram stories, is I just did like a day in the life of Brian, and like every 30 minutes to an hour, I'm just taking a screenshot or taking a picture of wherever I happen to be and posting the time, because I want somebody to see what does it actually take to be a full-time coach. You know, that's my main source of revenue, is I'm a clarity coach. I help people with their audience, their message, and their products. What does it mean to show up for podcast interviews? Like, what does that take? What does it take to be an engaged dad? What does it take to be an engaged husband? What does it take to work from home? And I kind of am showing people behind the scenes. And so today, I'll use today as an example. I was up at 4:30 this morning. I had an hour completely to myself from 4:30 to 5:30. And then my kids didn't wake up till 6:05 today. So then I had another 35 minutes, not planned, because I planned for them to be awake as early as 5:30. And so then I had this sort of bonus 35 minutes this morning where I could read a chapter in a book. I could kind of look at my day, get a little bit of a head start. And by taking the time in the morning for myself, I was really able to show up for my people, and especially for those work from home moms and dads out there, for those parents out there that even work at an office outside of the home. There is this feeling when you first see one of your kids in the morning, and the feeling is either, oh, like, I missed it. Like, I missed my window. Like, now they're in my face. They have a question for me, or they need to get ready for school, or they need their diaper changed, or like whatever age your kid is, they need money for, you know, whatever.
Yep.
They're in my face now, and I missed the window that I could have had if I just went to bed an hour earlier. I talk about it a little bit in the book, but the idea is the 1 hour exchange. I'm sure you've had people, because you've had so many episodes. I'm sure somebody's mentioned this before, but you know, take that last hour of the day. So I watched one episode of The Office last night, and I could have watched three episodes, but I watched one, and I decided to take the hour it would have taken to watch those other two episodes, and I traded it. For that 1 hour in the morning. And I knew that I'm going to have a better day. I'm going to be a better, show up better as a husband, father, business owner, as a coach, if I just exchange those 2 hours, those two office episodes at night for 1 hour of journaling and prayer and meditation and planning in the morning.
So interestingly, and conversely, I'm the night owl, right? And for those mm-hmm. who've listened for a while, so I'm the guy that goes to bed at like 1 a.m. What was interesting, and this is going to lead nicely into, you know, especially dealing with your partner, is my wife is not that way. And what she appreciates in the morning is the time to herself, like you're talking about, to read her book, to just putter around and do what she needs to do. Because again, like you said, once the kids are up, 5:30 is not happening for our kids at all. My son's 7:30. My daughter's a teenager, so it's like, get up. It's time to go to school. That's a whole other discussion about why high school kids are going to school so early. You know, that's a whole other discussion point. But I remember one of my clients actually recommended, he said, you should go to bed at the same time as your spouse, because then you can connect and you can really, like, it creates. And I was thinking, that's a great idea, because I want to connect with her. And I did that for about 4 days, maybe a little bit longer. Actually, it might've been a little bit longer. And eventually my wife said, like, cause I would lie in bed at like 10 at night, and this is what you'd hear from me every few minutes. She'd hear like a, cause my brain was still going. And so we eventually had this conversation about, you know, and it was a candid one about, like, hey, the reason I'm going to bed early, like at 10 at night or when you go to bed, is because then we can connect. And she goes, well, here, let me put it to you this way. Number one, when you come to bed at the same time as me, I can't stretch my arm out across where you sleep, because that's how I go to sleep. So you've already disrupted that. Secondly, now that you're getting up earlier in the morning, you're now in my space when I'm trying to do. And she goes, and she said, and now you're feeling, you know, so it's actually making things worse. She goes, cause for, yes, you know, 14 years we were doing this. And then for the past, you know, little while you've been doing it the other way. And so I just said, okay, I listened to what she had to say and went back to my patterns, which I was more than happy to keep in the first place. And all of a sudden, right, perspective changed. So the, why I bring this up is communication. I think that when you're starting, mm-hmm, with people, like that communication piece to me is incredibly important. You mentioned that as well. Like what steps do people need to take to, before they start to, you know, assume that this is how they should start with people, what steps should they take to make sure that they're communicating in a way that makes sure they're starting on the right foot with people?
Oh, it's such a great question. And it's so nuanced. Like it depends on, you know, the relationship with your partner, right, with your significant other. And so I can only speak from my experience and the people that I coach and I work with. But what I've found is it's so important to have a conversation before the event. So as an example, you know, my wife is doing this fitness challenge thing. She's doing her first half marathon, and that means she's got the schedule. So think about productivity, right? She's got the schedule. She's got to follow a certain number of miles she needs to run every day. And she's a mom. She's a stay-at-home mom. She's got a busy day with kids, and her schedule gets knocked off, of course, every day, probably every other hour. And so what we do is we have a conversation before the action. So just checking in, hey, you know, so it just sounds, and it's on text message. We use an app called Voxer, like this, you know, walkie-talkie app, mm-hmm, or it might be in person. But it's as simple as, hey, I wasn't able to run like I planned. And so I'm hoping to run at 8 o'clock tonight. Does that work for you? You know, and what that means to me is, oh, I was planning on doing something else at 8 o'clock. So let me shift my day around a little bit so that I can make sure if there's a kid that sneaks out of bed at 8, like I'm present. So we've really learned to let our calendar, to live out our priorities through our calendar.
Right.
So right. And I'm sure you teach this. So to look at making sure, I want to make sure every single minute of my day is scheduled. I do it in usually like 30 minute blocks, but from wake up to go to bed, if you looked at my Google Calendar, you'd say, okay, you are completely booked. Like, of course I'm completely booked and I have everything blocked off, including kid time, commute time, like everything is blocked off. And then when she needs to change something around or I need to change something around, I move it on the calendar, have the conversation, and then we're on the same page. And even going to bed, like even when we go to bed, because I've been finding that I'm so much more productive when I wake up early in the morning, mm-hmm, which means I'm a zombie after 9 PM. So if she wants to have a conversation about finances or about mother-in-law or about like Christmas plans or something, that's not happening after 9 o'clock.
I like how you identified those three as the big stressful conversations.
those are the issues, right? Let's be real. So we need to move it. So I just need to say, honey, my energy is zapped. It is 9 o'clock right now. Let's look at tomorrow. When can we have this conversation? And just having that conversation before the action, you know, we've been married 17 years, so we've made a ton of mistakes, but this is one of the things that I've really learned is just to say something as simple as, you know, listen, I've been on interviews all day, or I've been staring at my screen all day. I need a walk around the block. Would you mind if I go take a walk before I help with dinner? Like that conversation alone can completely change your marriage because you're telling her why. You're like, you're saying, hey, I just need a little bit of fresh air. Is it cool if I just go take a 10 minute walk so I can be a human person and be like nice to you again? And I've just found, I mean, my wife's awesome, but I don't think she's different than many other wives or significant others out there. Like for her to know what's the reason behind the action. So you have the conversation, she knows the reason. She believes in you, right? She wants you to thrive. You want her to thrive. You have that conversation, and that can handle an abundance of issues.
All right, we're going to take a break from the conversation, but when we come back, one of the things we're going to talk about is the special kind of day that Brian takes that you might be able to use as a daily theme, which is the kind of thing I talk about with time crafting. But what I want to get to now is how you can help communicate better with the people in your world. And you could do this via email or in a whole bunch of other ways, but I'm going to focus on email right now because one of the things that I'm able to do now, thanks to Text Expander, is make my email deliverables and what I share in email a lot more personal. And Text Expander has played a huge role in that. You can really unlock your productivity with Text Expander. Now, Mac users who are upgrading to Catalina, Text Expander is ready and working. Text Expander works everywhere you type, whether that's Word, Google Docs, email, like I just mentioned, web forms, and more. And my email replies are basically different every single time because I'm able to use Text Expander. It's also another way of saying that my replies would be faster and more efficient because I use Text Expander. And the fill-ins and pop-up features are really, really powerful. I use them all the time with podcast guests, with people I'm communicating with. I have this thing called the Hello Habit. And I actually use Text Expander for that as well, not just in emails, but in texts that I'm sending either via iMessage or even on Facebook. Text Expander for Teams is also really, really powerful. It helps your new employees get up to speed faster because of all the things that they need to type right away. They're already there. They're already snippets. And you don't really need to worry about what operating system you're using because Text Expander is available for Mac OS, Windows, Chrome, iPhone, and iPad. So whether you're an Apple, you know, addict or a Windows user or an Android person, Text Expander has you covered. Now, I want to help you get the benefits that Text Expander has to offer. Just go to textexpander.com/podcast and then select the Productivities Podcast from the dropdown. You'll get 20% off your first year of Text Expander. So again, visit textexpander.com/podcast, choose the Productivities Podcast from the dropdown. That way they know you heard it from me and you'll get 20% off your first year. It is so worth it. You'll be able to communicate better, type faster, and unlock your productivity with Text Expander. Give it a try today. One of the things I'm doing is trying to deepen my relationships with people, communicate better, all that stuff. I think it's a real, real key. And Brian has talked about that both during our conversation and in his book. And there's a tool that you wouldn't think necessarily would help you on that other than in the social media component. But Meet Edgar is really helping me on that front as well, indirectly, because it's freeing up my time and yet helping me amplify my presence and message across multiple social networks all at the same time. Meet Edgar is a social media automation tool, and it was founded in 2014 by Laura Roeder, who was tired of doing social the time-wasty, old-fashioned way. Since then, Laura and the Meet Edgar team have served thousands of small businesses and entrepreneurs, including this one right here, with effortless automation and best-in-class marketing education. That's a key piece too, because I've been spending more time doing study lately, and once you sign up for Meet Edgar, you'll get access to an onboarding coach, live social media marketing office hours, and a ton of educational courses to help you really get the most out of social and use Meet Edgar to do that as well. Meet Edgar has really, really helped me out. Again, that indirect capability of freeing up my time so I can spend more time with people, deepening those relationships, but I'm also able to maximize the reach of every piece of content I put out there, which helps me garner more relationships. See, Edgar's unique suggested variations turns a single blog post or even podcast show notes into 5 unique social posts with a single click. You can really amp up your social media output and reach more people just by doing that, by you're 5Xing your output. Now, if you've got a blog or a podcast or even a YouTube channel like I do, that RSS feed there, you can hook that up to Meet Edgar and automatically pull in your latest content and add it to your social sharing queue. I'm starting to put that into place. So that way, when I put out a new video on Timecrafting TV or put out a new podcast, the message gets out there and it gets out there cleanly. And also the unique category-based schedule that Meet Edgar offers saves a ton of time. You can keep your feeds active and post the right content to the right network at the optimal time. Now, I want you to take advantage of what Meet Edgar has to offer. So here's what you got to do. Head on over to meetedgar.com/timecrafting and use the promo code timecrafting to get this, an extended 60-day free trial. That's 2 months. That's craziness. And you'll be able to get the most out of Meet Edgar. Again, take advantage of that education that they offer. So again, go to meetedgar.com/timecrafting, use the promo code timecrafting, get that extended 60-day free trial, and put Meet Edgar to work for you. And now it's time to share with you my Productivities Podcast pick of the week. And this week, I'm choosing Typology by Ian Morgan Cron. Now, if you're into the Enneagram, and I've been spending some time with it, I'm not completely into it yet, but it's something that I've heard a lot about and read a lot about, but I'm digging deeper into it just because this kind of thing fascinates me. When I was at the Tribe Conference a couple of years ago in Nashville, a bunch of us got together, and that was the thing, like, what's your number? What's your number? And it kind of fascinated me. Well, this podcast dives into it. Like, who are we? Why do we act and think and feel the way we do? Typology is a podcast that explores the mystery of the human personality and how we can use the Enneagram typing system as a tool to become our best, most authentic self. Some of the episodes that I'm into, Mike Pacchione, who's a friend of mine, who's going to be on the show. He was part of, you know, he was interviewed. Don Miller's been on the program. Michael Hyatt, who has been on the program as well, he's been on the show. There's an episode called Enneagram and Coffee. Allison Fallon, who's a friend of mine, she's been on the show. Lots of great, great episodes worth getting into. So if you've been thinking about like personality tests, and there's lots of them out there, Myers-Briggs, the StrengthsFinder, and we talk a bit more about them. Brian and I have talked about that during this episode. You're going to want to check out Typology by Ian Morgan Cron. I'm not a diehard when it comes to this stuff, but it does fascinate me. And if that kind of thing fascinates you, it's worth listening to. So there you go. Typology is my productivityist podcast pick of the week. Now, let's get back to my conversation with Brian Dixon here on the Productivities Podcast. Why don't you think people communicate or take the time to do that, though? Like, why is it fear? Is it ego? Is it a combat? Like, I mean, because there's a so human component. Much. Like, there's so much there. Again, yes. I think you're going to start every answer. Well, it's so nuanced, but I guess right. It is. It's very, because once you bring the human element into it, it's again, when people look at their to-do list,
that's right.
And they see very objective things like take out trash, you know, if it's personal stuff, or work on, you know, write 500 words for book or whatever it is. But then they see, like, I put things on my to-do list, like make a difference in someone's day. They're like, wow, that's really, you know, why do you need to put that on there? But for me, if I don't have, because that's where my attention goes from the calendar, like you said, like, hey, the daily theme? And we're going to talk a little bit later about a day that you specifically theme, but daily, what's my daily theme? And then I go, okay, today is listening day. Let me look in my to-do list app and see everything I've tagged with listening. And if one of those things is listen to my kids tell me about what their teachers are like before meet the teacher day, I'm like, well, why do I need to put that there? Because it's where my attention goes. And then I can take that intention, which is to be more connected with my kids, which is my ultimate intention. The teacher thing is there, but it's a means, right? So then I can see that. So if someone says like make a difference in someone's day, they're like, well, if I do that, checking off that box feels really darn good, as opposed to like, you know, take out trash, which also, you know, I have a sense of accomplishment, but let's honestly draw the comparisons between those two. And you know what? Maybe taking out the trash is making a difference in someone's day, right?
Totally. I think that there's a positive correlation between productivity nerds and achievement nerds, right? Like, the reason we want to be so productive is because we want to achieve more. Like, we want to, you know, squeeze the joy out of life. We want to accomplish more things. We want to make a bigger impact. We want to make a bigger income. We want to feel satisfied with our day and that we lived a life worth living. And one of the strategies for that I teach in the book. And so this is going to check both boxes, the achievement box and also the productivity box, is this concept of, instead of looking at your spouse as your kryptonite, which it's really easy to do, especially if she's not into all the nerdy productivity hacks that many of us are into. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to look at her as our kryptonite. Like, she's slowing us down. She's preventing us from getting our stuff done. She can be your superpower. And the key to that, okay, the action step is to create a manual. So for the you technology nerds out there like me, and I'm raising my hand, I can't wait to get the new whatever, right? Before you and I were recording, we were talking about our podcast equipment.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So of course, you know, I got the Rodecaster Pro. I've already read the PDF manual. I've already read the whole thing. Like, I know every little thing that every button does. So here's the thing. You probably don't know what every little thing every button does for your wife or for your kids. And there are amazing tools out there that if you learn them, that will improve your relationships. So, hey, go on, like, thrive on, productivity nerds. Like, I love it. Okay. So here's what I teach in the book. There's four personality tests that I absolutely love. I use it with my team and my family as well. There's the Enneagram, which teaches you basically how do people see the world? Like, what's the color of the lens that they wear, like the glasses that they wear to see the world. So, for example, you know, Julie is a one on the Enneagram, which means the way she sees the world is how can I make it better? And I'm a three on the Enneagram, which is how can I build it? Like, how can I build something bigger? Or how can I achieve more? Well, me knowing that she is constantly looking for ways to make things better. This actually happened. I got back from a lunch thing today. I walk in our living room, and all of our furniture, Mike, all of our furniture is completely moved around the entire house.
Oh, geez.
And listen, I know her manual. Like, I know that that's just her living out her Enneagram, which is she's just trying to make things better. And we have company coming over this weekend. And she was just trying to think. She literally says to me, I think there's a way to get more light into the living room. Okay.
Yep.
So I know that about her. So I'm not surprised. Now, I might not be able to change it, but I can work with her.
Right.
And there's tools and technology that we know we've learned workarounds, because you can't change the software necessarily, but you know how it works.
It changes from a reaction to a response.
Totally. Yes. And an expectation. Like, right. I know. Right. And actually, I can show up for my people. Like, I can really show up for Julie when I know she's always trying to make things better. Like, one of our best date night conversations, a date night question for us, is me asking her, hey, what's something we can do that can be even better than the way we're doing it? Like, she could talk for an hour about that. She always has something that can be better. It drives me crazy because I just want to get to the finish line.
Right.
You know? So that's one, the love languages, right? There's the five love languages. So me knowing that her love language is acts of service. I mean, your marriage will thrive. Your key relationships will thrive if you know the way that you give and receive love and the way that the people in your life give and receive love. And so that's a productivity hack.
By the way, I'm still trying to figure out my Enneagram number. I've been reading Ian's book, and yeah. I've actually got the Bible of it, the World of Enneagram or whatever. I've got those two books, and I've been kind of going through it. Pat Flynn and Chris Ducker and a few of us online. I was like, I saw Chris reading Ian's book. It's a little inside baseball for listeners here, but if you go on Facebook, you can find it. We're like, what number are you, Chris? And Pat's like, I'm this. And then, and I'm like, eventually Chris told us, I can't remember what it was, but I'm still looking at it going, which number am I? Actually, Ian's got a great podcast, so I'll link it in the show notes. Ian's podcast. What's the name of it?
It's now called Typology.
Right, Typology. Great episode is Mike Pacchione on it. Mike's a friend of mine.
Love it.
It's such a 2-part episode, so check it out. But yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out, mainly because of the wings. But anyway, so the Enneagram, the love languages, keep going, Brian.
Yeah. And by the way, just mentioning Ian and I did a class together on Enneagram. So I know the Enneagram pretty well, and I learned it through him. And we did a video. You can link it in the show notes as well. That's on his Facebook page. And it's what's the driving question? So when you watch that video, it's like, oh, that's the driving question. Like, that's the question. So we're all asking this question of ourselves each day. And so that's how I think about Enneagram. Like, I think about it, like, right now, what I'm thinking, because I'm an Enneagram 3, what I'm thinking is, how can I knock it out of the park for Mike? Mm. Like, how can I be the best podcast episode, you know, guest that Mike's ever had? Because I'm driven by performance. I'm driven by achievement.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you know that about your key relationships, it changes your relationships, because you get to kind of see the world through their eyes a little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm a 3 with a 2 wing. So people are going to have to look at that. For me, I think I'm pretty sure a 3 with a 2. But I can tell you right now, someone said, you're definitely not, I think he said, you're definitely not an 8. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But anyway, so you've got those two, but there's other ones that you also
two more.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah. Also the Colby. So Kolbe. And Colby is about the way that we work, how quickly we take action. And this is probably where most marriages get in trouble. And this is not just for marriages, by the way, like, this applies to teams as well. So the two components of Colby that I really like is what I've found is, generally in a relationship, there's the fact finder and there's the quick start. And so I'm a quick start. Like, if you told me about a thing, like, right now, I'd probably go order it on Amazon, like, right away, you know, because I'm like, Mike told me about it, I should go get it. I'm a quick start, I'll take action. Where somebody else who's more of a fact finder is going to go read all the blogs about the thing you mentioned and watch a bunch of YouTube videos and take time and maybe even forget to even order it, you know?
Right.
And if you're married to somebody who's that way, where they take like a year to make a decision and you make a decision 1 minute, like, there's going to be tension there. So knowing that, and then I'll just go to the fourth one. The fourth one, and this is more of a business strategy, but it works so well in marriage, is strength finders. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the five strengths, the five core strengths of your partner? So what I'd recommend you do is go invest in all those tools. They have free and paid versions, but I'd say go for the paid ones, because you're going to get more data and it's going to help you, you know, it's going to help you implement. And then you create the manual. You don't even have to tell your spouse you're doing that, but you create the manual. So what's their Colby? What's their love language? What's their strength finder? What's their Enneagram? And then study it. Like, read it like you read a manual. You know, read it like you want to learn this productivity tool or this software program. And then you will show up in a different way, because you're not just jamming on the buttons, you know, or clicking the wrong thing, you know, in your relationships. And it just makes such a difference in the way we can get on the same page. And I know for me in doing that, because it's been about 2 years that I sort of stumbled upon this concept. It was actually my work with Ian, really, where, wow, the Enneagram helped me. What other tools can help me in my marriage? And knowing these four about Julie has completely changed the way I'll approach her. And when you approach somebody differently, they usually respond differently, and it can really improve your key relationships.
So instead of getting stuck with shiny new object syndrome when you want to explore things like tech and stuff,
yes,
get stuck with shiny you object syndrome and look into
shiny you object. I like it.
Because you're great, shiny. You know, that's so maybe I am a three.
Probably. With all
So I want to dig into that theme day that I was talking about. So I theme my days. Yes. Every day of the week has an overarching focus. So that way I know when I wake up in the morning, because again, I'm not a morning person. So as a groggy, you know, getting up at 8 a.m. to help get the kids off to school, I'm not going, what am I going to do today? I'm saying, okay, what day is it? Oh, it's listening day. Okay, what kind of listening am I going to do today? That's my overarching mm-hmm. focus. You've got a day as well that you think is really powerful. Can you share a bit about that? You wrote about it in the book, and I want to make sure that, you know, 'cause I think that when they're talking about like all the stuff you've just said, like, hey, study this, get to know it, you know, get to build that manual, then you can really apply it on this particular day.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I love to hear more about your theme days. I know your listeners have talked about, you know, the theme days. I think it's so important to be able to have the, like, to understand, you know, how is it that I see the world? So I think there's a couple examples. If you could be a little bit more specific in your question about like, what's the particular day? 'Cause I'm thinking about my big vision days. Is that what you're talking about or something else?
No, I'm talking about the people first day. So, you know, having Yeah. So I think that to me, so for example, right. When I talk about theme days, and I think that this is where, when I look at this distinction, it's like, okay, we all know that, you know, the days are dynamic, right? So for example, today's listening day, I'm doing focused primarily on podcast stuff, but I'm also going to have to cook dinner at some point. Well, dinner has nothing to do with listening. It, you know, it's just something that I need to do. So I will cook dinner. Like I can tell you right now, I know what I'm cooking for dinner because I'm a planner. I would plan 10 days worth of dinners. By the way, my wife will plan four and go, let's just see what happens. So there's some stuff there, but nonetheless, I will go put the sous vide machine on to cook the chicken so I can actually cook it while I'm working, which is great. I know what we're having. But once dinner's cooked, I don't say to myself, okay, now what? Because that's a dangerous question, because your brain would love to go in a bunch of different directions. Like you said about the office thing, right? Like you traded that time off. My brain needs a place to go. And I think every brain needs a place to go because we're human, and humans are driven largely. I mean, there's this logical component and there's emotional component, and we would love to lean into the emotional component as much as possible because it makes us feel good. Logic kind of keeps us, if you're too logical, then you're almost too automated. So I like to say that there's this middle point called reasoned. So for me, theme days give me a reasoned approach to my day. I know that overarching focus is listening today. There will be other things, but when those other things are done, my brain goes, okay, what day is it? Oh, it's Wednesday. Wednesday means listening. In your case, with this people first day, it's like, you know what that overarching focus is for that day, which is important, but it doesn't mean that you're only focusing on like figuring out your, you know, how you're going to work with people on that day. It just gives you some place to go. And I think when we were talking about like, you know, getting to know what you are and getting to figure out what those people around you are will really help you with that particular day.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's a few ways to look at it. You know, what we decided to do as we launched the book is to challenge people that were reading to pick one day and call it people first day. And, you know, start with 10 minutes. Like, what can I do that would take about 10 minutes that would put somebody else first? But honestly, Mike, like, this has just become part of my life now, is I just look at the key relationships. And as an example, you know, the lady next door, as I'm walking my kids to the bus stop and she's walking her kid to the bus stop, like, what would it mean if I showed up as a people first leader for her, mm-hmm. like what can I do? And generally there's two questions that I try to ask multiple times a day, probably dozens of times a day now. So they're really simple. The first one is, what can I do to make your day? So I brought in my car today because it needed, you know, a tune up. And as I'm leaving, the guy, because I asked this question. So, you know, for your achievement focused people, this question really gets you results too, which is awesome. So Greg at the dealership, I asked him, what can I do to make your day? And he said, nobody's ever asked me that before. Like, I was buying a car from him, and that's the question I asked him, because it's just such a natural part of sharing the message of start with your people. To start with your people means looking at the people in your life, even if they're a guy at the car dealership, and saying, what can I do to make your day? And he knew, and that's the challenge. Most people know where they're stuck. Most people know what's the one thing that's like preventing me from like winning the day, you know, like having a good day. And most of the time, it's something really simple. It's really just a matter of perspective. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, you know, what can I do to make your day? He said, you know, if you could refer a couple of people, that would be amazing. So I'm like, okay, great. So then sent a couple text messages. Guys, you need to meet Greg. He's awesome. If you're looking at getting a new car, he treated me so well. I highly recommend him. That meant the world to him, which led to me getting basically a free loaner car for the next couple of days while they fix my car, while they tune up my car. The second question you could ask besides what can I do to make your day is, what are you working through right now? And this one is like the secret sauce. If you were to say to your team member or your spouse or your boss or even, you know, an influencer at a conference, like, hey, it's really nice to meet you. You know, it's kind of a weird question. What are you working through right now? Like if you said, you mentioned Pat Flynn before, yep. You know, I know Pat pretty well. If I were to say to Pat, hey, Pat, what are you working through right now? Like he's going to tell, like he'd probably know, like yep. He would say, you know, Brian, I'm trying to figure out this thing and I can't figure it out. And then what I do is I make it my mission to make his day, right? So how can I help Pat get unstuck? Because he's somebody that matters to me. Like I respect his opinion. I know that could lead to really big things for the book and, you know, just opportunity to serve his people well. And so that's what I mean by people first day. Imagine if we took a day, we set it aside and we walk through the day. And we're just asking those two questions, you know, the kind of the positive version is, what can I do to make your day? So the more sort of constructive version is, what are you working through? And Mike, it's so funny, like even in Target, you know, just even in line at Target, the lady asked me, you know, how are you doing? I said, I'm great. What are you working through right now? And she tells me, you know, I'm having some conflict with my teenage daughter. I happen to be in education for 14 years. I was a classroom teacher of high schoolers, of teenage daughters, you know, for a while. So I had a little bit of advice for her. I gave her some encouragement and I left having made her day. And I just believe that, you know, the pebble rarely sees the ripple. Like, I just know that, like, I just look at, like, my job is to make an impact for the people in my life. And I will never necessarily know the impact that they make as a result of me impacting them. But I can hold my head up high or put my head, you know, on the pillow at night and say, job well done. You know, like I really showed up for people today. And I think that right there, Mike, is the ultimate definition of productivity. Being able to put your head on the pillow and say, I did the best I could with what I had today. I showed up for people well, and I believe I made a big impact.
I agree. And one of the things I listened to you talk to Jeff a little bit about this on his show, which we'll link to in the show notes as well, was, I remember listening to this and I'm thinking, how do you help people get past this bias? Because as soon as you mentioned something about, going to a co-working space, you mentioned how much you liked the co-working space and then the lady gave you a discount. And then you talked about just now how, you know, you talked to Greg and Greg gave you a loaner car. Some people, I'm not going to say are going to go, well, are you doing it to get the stuff, right? Like, I think that's a byproduct. But I was just chatting with, one of my, on a recent episode, my buddy Carl Stabe talks about bringing gratitude. And the idea of, you know, when you give a gift versus receiving it, you are also receiving something back because the reaction, the response from the person. So at the end of the day,
that's right.
I don't believe, and I mean, I want to get your thoughts on this, that, you mean, if you didn't get that loaner or you didn't get that discount, it doesn't discount, you know, what you've done for that person. That wasn't the intent. It was just a byproduct.
It's part of it. I think I agree with you. Like, so yes, I agree with what you said. But I think it's in more a mentality. It's an abundance mentality.
Right.
You know, so I happen to be a person of faith and so many times in the Bible, it talks about, holiness and riches, and they're so related. And my point in bringing that up is that something that you would think is dichotomous, like it's so opposite, you know, like being godly and having money, like they must be very different. Or in the example we're talking about, like showing up and serving people or getting what you want, like those must be so polar opposite.
Right.
But I actually think it's just like two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. I want the whole coin, you know, I want to show up for people and serve them so well that it just completely knocks their socks off and makes their day. But here's what I know to be true. When I show up for people, when I serve them well, when I look at their name and say their name from their name tag or ask what they're working through, like they, you know, they give you that extra, whatever it is, that extra dollop of ice cream, you know, it just happens. It happens almost every single day for me where somebody will open something early or give me that bonus or give me that discount or whatever, because I believe that, you know, Brendan Burchard would say, you know, when you walk into a room, and I'm sure other people said this too, I know I heard it from him. There's two kinds of people in the world. Those that walk in the room and say, "Hey world, here I am." And those that walk in the room and say, "Hey, there you are." And when we walk in a room and say, "Hey, listen, I've got my whole list of productivity things, but what's more important is that I really show up for you," it actually increases your productivity. It does, because people show up, because you're showing up for them, they're also willing and excited to show up for you. I got to tell you, having gone through a book launch, which is one of those like really wonky things that we do in our world. Mm-hmm. And I know you have one coming up, you know, and not too long from now.
Yep.
Like, we ask a ton of favors. We mentioned Pat, like Pat shared on social for my book. Like, that's awesome. What's in it for Pat? Not a lot, but I know that for the last couple of years, I've shared his stuff. I've showed up for him. I've tweeted him his things. I've recommended people to his conference and to his courses. And not all the time does an influencer like share our stuff, but nine times out of 10, they do. Like, it just happens that when you really show up for people and start with your people, that they want to help you too. And so at the end of the day, we all win.
And when it's a way of operating too, I think that's important. I know we've been earlier on, we mentioned like Chris Ducker, Pat Flannan, people like, "Oh, look at those names they're dropping." Not about at this point, it's funny, maybe early on when you're first starting, but now these are just people that are people, like, you know, and so if you create a hierarchy, that's a problem, I think. And that's not what you're talking about. Like the idea of, I was reading the article yesterday as we get close to wrapping up, but Mr. Rogers, and they brought up that he was I had no idea that he was a Presbyterian minister. I'm not terribly, I don't consider myself to be a religious person.
Sure.
But the idea of love thy neighbor as thyself, because he takes it from Leviticus. I can't remember the verse. You probably know the verse. I certainly don't. and the idea of, you know, that's a good message. It doesn't matter what you, and the fact that he embodied that, look what became of it. It wasn't, he got a lot out of it, but certainly the world got so much more out of it that, like you said, the pebble doesn't see where the ripple goes, right? Like, I mean, his legacy is lasting for a long. The reason you put out a book like this isn't, you know, it's to help others. You know, the idea that we're doing this is to help others. And if we can do that as a way of operating, then we know what projects to do. Then we know what our purpose is more directed and we are more productive. So I think that those are really clear messages. What do you want people to do leaving this episode today so they can start with people, you know, other than buying the book, which they're going to do, but what else can they do to start with people starting today?
I love it. It's such a great question. You know, to get really personal, my next door neighbor, Dan, he was 41. I'm 41. He had this just crazy, you know, out of nowhere heart attack, and he passed away like 3 weeks ago. Mm. And he's my neighbor. Like we like mulched our, you know, our front yard at the same time, you know, like he's my neighbor, and he just passed away. And it really hit me that like all the strategy and productivity in the world, like, yes, it's important, but at the end of the day, it's our the legacy that we leave is the way that we showed up for the people in our life. And he's a dude that like, he totally showed up for people. Like, he showed up for me. I can think of many ways that he showed up for me, that he put his agenda aside and came over to our house and helped me move something or helped me fix something or gave me his insight on something. And so that's the challenge that I have for you guys. look at what, just pick one person in your life. And there's multiple chapters in the book. Like there's one as an example on difficult people. There's somebody in your life right now that you just don't want to go to the grave with them, that with that unresolved. Or maybe it's just your marriage and you're just like, man, oh, I know this could be better. Just to say, hey, honey, can we clear the air? Like, I just want this thing to improve. Like, can we just have a conversation about it? So I just believe that if you just change one relationship as a result of this conversation, that is going to have such a lasting effect for generations. And that's the one thing you can do as a result of listening to the show.
Hey, Brian, where can people pick up the book and keep up with what you've got going on in the world today?
Absolutely. Well, we've got it on Audible. So for you audio listeners out there, I read the book, which was really fun. The book is called Start With Your People. So grab it wherever you download your audiobooks. And you can also take, I've got a little clarity quiz, a 30-second quiz to help you get unstuck. And you can find that quiz over at my website, briandixon.com.
Brian, thanks so much for joining me today on the Productivityist podcast.
It was a blast, Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
I'd like to thank Brian for joining me on the program. You can get all of the show notes for this episode by going to productivityist.com/podcast270. But then again, if you're listening to this on your device, you can just, you know, touch the links that are in the show notes and they're already there for you. So you don't even have to go to the website, but there's lots of great stuff at the website beyond the podcast. So you can check that out again, productivityist.com/podcast270. And you can, you know, share it from there too. In fact, I would love it if you would share this podcast episode with anyone who would benefit from it, you know, and if you are benefiting from this episode and from the podcast in general, a rating or review in Apple Podcasts and, you know, in Spotify, wherever you are listening to this program would be also hugely appreciated. Finally, if you want to make sure that you don't miss a single episode, subscribe to the show. Again, you've got the phone or the device in your hand, just hit the subscribe button. That way you don't miss a single episode and you get quick access to all of the archives featuring a cornucopia of fantastic guests talking about time, attention, productivity, and all things in between. That's it for this episode. And by the way, when you're looking at the show notes, click on the links of those who support the show, the sponsors. They could use your love as well. So check out what they have to offer. So there you go. That's it. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for spending time with me today. I would like to start with people when it comes to this. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, want to get in touch with me, email me directly at podcast@productivityist.com. I'm the one that gets those emails, so I will check them out. If you want to get in touch with me, that's the easiest way to do it. But until next time, I'm your host, Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast, and I'm reminding you to stop guessing and start going. I'll see you later.